See, I thought it would be really good if we can't take you all to Africa, but we can bring some of that flavor here. And so it's a blessing to have the Spirit of Truth Church with us, blessing to have Pastor Gideon with us this morning. And we find it a great privilege to be able to work together with what God is doing in our city. And Pastor Gideon, it is truly an honor to see what God is doing at your church. If you ever get a chance, now Pastor Gideon, I'm going out on the limb here a little bit. If you ever get a chance on a Sunday afternoon and you want to try something different, you want to take in their church. If you've never been to Africa, how many of you have been to Africa? Some of you have been there. That's awesome. So if you've never been, you just can go down the road because Africa is here in Surrey. Hallelujah. Yeah. And we are honored to be part of that. This morning we wanted to try something a little bit different. And I'm going to ask the gentleman to come and join me up here right now at this point in time. Our church is the mission of our church, or the vision statement you see on the back wall or back windows, it's to be a diverse church connecting our neighbors with Jesus and empowering communities with purpose. That's what we're all about. We're about diversity. We're about connection. We're about looking at how we as a church can work together to build God's kingdom in the community around us. So what I thought we'd do here this morning, a little bit different, is I thought we would bring some of the community here, or some representatives of the community here. If you look at our flags, we have 48 different flags that are displayed here, besides the one, well, the Canadian flag as well. 48 different nationalities. Now, I don't know if they're all still here. Some may have moved on, but we've got quite a number of different nationalities. And what I'm thinking is these folks have been very engaged in those nationalities. Pastor Gideon is a pastor of Spirit of Truth Church, and he's gonna talk a little bit about what God is doing there. But Pastor Gideon is involved with refugees as well as immigrants coming into the country. And that's one of his main themes besides, of course, working with this church. We all know Jamie Arsenal. Jamie is involved with Power to Change. They are out on the streets in Vancouver. They're doing things with street people and working there in that area as well as worldwide. So Jamie's involved there as well. And you may not know Seth Greenham. He comes to us. Yeah, you can give him a hand. Yeah. He comes to us. He works in the universities and is involved in SFU specifically. And so what we want to do here this morning, International Sunday, we deal with two things. We deal with educating us and how we can be involved in different areas of culture and celebration. We want to celebrate what God is doing with different areas of culture. So what I wanted to do with these gentlemen up here is actually have a little bit of a discussion. And what is God doing? Let's start off with that. What is God doing in your areas of ministry? What is God doing in the universities? What's he doing on the streets? And some of the other stuff, Jamie, you could be here all day. And what's God doing, Pastor Gideon, and when it comes to the refugees, when it comes to things that are going on there. So let's talk about a little bit of celebration. I'm going to sit down. Can I sit down beside you? Yes. And we're just going to start with you, Seth. Talk to me a little bit about what is God doing in the universities right now?
One of the things I'm really enjoying here this morning is the international flavor, obviously. One of the great things about university is university in Canada is one of the places where the world gathers. And so when I'm on mission at the university, one of the things that we just are very conscious of is the world is gathered. So when you think about strategic mission, the university is actually very strategic because we have many people from many nations coming to SFU, and they are trained and they go back to their home country and they excel and are in positions of power in their country. Mm-hmm. But for many of them, coming to North America is an opportunity to hear the gospel without fear. And I just think it's a great opportunity. One of my celebration moments, SFU has a particularly large contingent of students from Iran. Iran's a closed nation as far as the gospel is concerned. It's very difficult. So we looked at that and we were like, what can we do? And so I work in the Interfaith Center. And we have Muslims come and pray about 3 times a day as part of their 5 ritual prayers in our center. So I was like, you know what? I just want to learn about Islam, and we're going to invite them for dinner. And so we invited the Shia Muslims to come to dinner. We made a vegetarian chili, and we said, okay, teach us about Islam. So we had about 70 of them come for dinner.
Wow.
And teach us about Islam. We did that for 2 years in a row. And at the, not this Christmas, but last Christmas, I got an email from the president of the Student Society for the Shia Muslims. And she said, a group of us want to come to a Christian church, and we want to hear Christian prayers and Christian songs. And we don't want to come to a Christmas pageant. We want to come to a real service. Mm. We had 23
wow.
Shia Muslims come to Broadway Church for a
praise
Christmas Eve
Lord.
Service.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Celebrate that. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think the other thing that just illustrates, and this is from this year, we had a wonderful student leader from Zimbabwe. She was reaching out in the dorms, and she met a girl from Hong Kong. Actually, no, not from Hong Kong, from mainland China. Her name is Fu Yu. Fu Yu was interested in the gospel. And so Tatenda was talking to her and meeting with her. And over the course of about 6 months, Fu Yu started coming to Tatenda's small group that she was leading. Then the end of this fall, Fu Yu committed her life to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So just an opportunity for God to work across nations, just here in Burnaby. So it's just some things to celebrate there that I think are really awesome.
Okay, so you work in the Interfaith Center, you said. What does that look like?
The Interfaith Center is a place that the university gives. Since 1965, when SFU started, they gave an Interfaith Center. And what they did is they said, we'll provide space if religions will provide workers. Mm. So my technical title at the university is I'm the Pentecostal chaplain. And so I do chaplaincy service there. But all the faiths are together. We have a large group of Protestant Christian chaplains, about 4 or 5 of us there. We have a Catholic priest, and mass happens, confession, those kinds of things happen in our center. And then we have 3 Muslim groups who have joined. There's Sunni, Shia, and Ismaili, and they use the center. We have ablution rooms where they do ritual washing. It's just down the hall from my office. And so they walk past my office every day to do that. And so what I like about the Interfaith Center is it's an opportunity for us to rub shoulders informally. There's a lot of really good friendships over the years that have developed just because we see each other all the time. It's an opportunity to talk about the gospel, talk about differences in faith and practice. So that's sort of what it looks like.
Perfect. Thank you. Jamie, talk to us. Tell us what God is doing in your area of ministry.
Love to. Thank you. So good to be here, by the way. So good to see you.
Good to have you back, Jamie.
Thank you. Guys, it is so incredible to witness what God is doing through this ministry, but also in all these other ministries. I love hearing the stories, and it's so cool that we get to be a part of one body, a part of one church to stay mm-hmm. together, and it's beautiful that we all have these different areas of influence, and specifically with Drime. This year, we had an incredible season with the Drime Vancouver team, and it was so cool just to see people met where they were, and people engaged with the love of God, not only in just like sharing Christ, but through the dramas that we do, they get to see the gospel, which I think is a pretty unique experience, and seeing them walk away with kind of something that they can't almost shake in their head, like who is that man in the white t-shirt? What was that? The expression on their face, and to see people kind of that, like, you know, struggle through that and kind of long for that, it's cool to meet them there and be able to talk to them and kind of point them to those deeper things that they may be experiencing. You know, what is, because as people, we've all been created by God, you know, no matter what you believe. And so I feel like God has created us all with this longing for intimacy, this longing for relationship, this longing for meaning and purpose. And it's cool to be able to help point people deeper into that. Like, what is it inside of you that craves that intimacy? How does that look? What, you know, like these things that are in your life, why are you trying to achieve those things? What makes you want that? You know, and kind of point them to God in that is working in their lives, point them to God that is actually the fulfilling of the craving, and to be able to meet them there in the streets. And it's so cool. There's this one man that I met in November, named Hassan, and I've been able to develop quite a cool relationship with him. And right there on the streets, I asked him, because he was kind of, I could see him battling and really, like, really affected by the dramas, and just kind of, I was talking with him, you know, who do you think Jesus is, or what's been your experience with the church, or, you know, Christ, and all this stuff. And he's like, you know what, I don't know, I could maybe see myself believing in this God one day, you know, and he just wasn't sure. So I asked him, like, this God that may exist, who do you think he would be? And it was so beautiful to see him literally describe God, like this God of grace, this God of love that is longing and reaching for him, this God that has given everything for him. And even though he doesn't believe in God, that the kingdom of God is inside of him, that deep within him craving, because he was created by God, right? And so it's beautiful to help kind of pull that out, to help people see that, to help people experience that. And I've been able to walk with him. And it was kind of cool because I told him, it's hard doing ministry, not hard, but it's beautiful doing ministry in Vancouver, but I don't go to a church in Vancouver, so sometimes it's hard with those connections. But I pointed him to a church that I knew a lot of friends at, and to Alpha, and I was like, you have all these questions, and it's so cool to be able to do that in a safe place with over a meal, hello. Yeah. And just be able to do that in a place where people want to dive deep and want to answer those questions and journey through that and don't have perfect answers, right? Just a place to go and be safe. And but a couple weeks went by, and we've chatted. We went for dinner a few times, but he didn't tell me. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, these people want to meet you. And I was like, who wants to meet me? He's like, oh, I've been going to Alpha for like 4 weeks. I'm like,
oh,
what?
Wow.
Like, so he just went by himself. And so I ended up going to like the last portion with him. And it was beautiful to just see him on this journey of diving deeper into just what he actually craves as a human, you know, and instead of going to all these earthly things that you know, you're trying to fulfill on your own means, to kind of dive deeper into that. And it's been so cool. And more specifically as well, in the sense of multiplication, God has been multiplying our ministry. And in the works right now, there's leaders in a team being kind of trained and rised up, that's not a word, but risen up in Argentina. So that our South American teams are working in Argentina to kind of start that team. There's a team, on Thursday, I'm going to Montreal to launch Drive Montreal for the first time ever, which is so exciting because the past few years we've gone there and we've found leaders and we've been training them, and they've been kind of recruiting and kind of building that ministry there and growing that. And so now I get to go and kind of be a part of their first ever launch and their first start of their first ministry season just next weekend. So I'm super excited about that. And then we have another team in West Africa. It's going to be the third team in Benin, which is incredible. They have like 50 people on every one of their teams. It's like massive. Wow. It's crazy. Yeah, it's beautiful. And then Montreal, Argentina, and Uganda. We just had some team members come back from Uganda, and it's just incredible to see what God is doing there and all over the world. And just this kind of, you know, no matter the culture, no matter where you are, there's always these just, you can talk to people about God because that's the, you know, God, again, unites us all, and you can talk to them and reach them through the needs that they have, which are surprisingly always very spiritual. We're spiritual creatures, and to be able to engage them in that and walk people through that journey is beautiful all over the world.
So for those that don't know, Drime, okay, it's not just some fancy word. It's actually an acronym, okay?
Yes.
So would you give us that acronym? And what is Drime? Yeah. There's people here that are going, okay, Jamie, I know you're one of our missionaries. We're sponsoring you. But, like, seriously, what are you doing? Like, you're out in the streets. What's that
totally
mean?
Totally. That's, like, the question I get every day, guys. It's awesome. I love it. No. But Drime, it stands for Disciples Ready in Mobile Evangelism. So it's kind of a play on drama and mime. But essentially what we do at a team level is we go to like a busy area, wherever it is in whatever country, like a busy city center where there's lots of foot traffic, lots of people hanging out. And we do these dramas that don't have words, that portray the message of Christ in some way. We have a whole bunch of different dramas, and there's always a man in a white t-shirt that represents Christ. And so as people stop and watch and gather and hear the music and come and kind of gather around, we get to engage them in spiritual conversations and say, hey, how's it going? You know, just to let you know, I'm from this group. Did you have any questions? You know, like what, just, you know, the man in white represents Christ. Like, what's your experience with Christ? Have you encountered him? Do you know him? And just kind of walk people through that journey. And a lot of people, you know, depending in the context, but a lot of people will be like, oh, yeah, I know the church and blah, blah, blah. But to be able to, oh, like, I hear that maybe you've really been hurt by the church. What was that like? Or just to engage people in that and to point them to Christ. And so we get to do that at a team level. And we're in nine different countries right now and growing. And all those teams do the same thing. They bring the dramas and they just talk to people and sit down on the curb with them and just kind of and offer to pray for them and be with them. And then, you know, if they want to be connected more, we get to point them to churches. We get to walk that journey with them as well. And then kind of at a greater level, we're training lots of leaders to and empowering them in their local context. We don't want to come in and say, hey, we know everything, you know, do it like this. We want to come alongside them and train them up and equip them and resource them so that they can then release the kingdom of God in their areas and in their areas of influence, because they know their culture and context way better than we do, right? So we just love coming alongside them and seeing them powered and starting those teams and going out and, right. And yeah, pointing people to Christ. So
awesome. Thank you, Jamie. Pastor Gideon, so you're involved in a few things here. Why don't you help us understand a little bit about what God is doing in your areas there?
First of all, I'd like to thank the Pastor Lewis for what he's doing in partnering with our church, and also the thanks for the leadership team of this church for the decision they made in supporting us as a church. We are involved in supporting the newcomer to Canada, and mostly from different parts of Africa as well, in other countries. We are well connected with them from the airport. And some people, when they land to Canada, to airport, they lose the hope. They don't know anybody here, especially for those who used to be involved in the church. They don't know if really they will keep going with the faith. And some they get discouraged. They don't know where to go. And by grace of God, we are connected with some of them, and we directed them to our church. And also other people, they get information from other people who directed them to our church, and we welcomed them. We supported them spiritually, emotionally, because most of them, they came from the war zone where they lost a member of family. We have some people who, the member of family were killed in front of them with the machetes. Can imagine how this kind of a situation, and they need more support, and we try to work with them to support them, not only with the word of God, also try to provide the counseling to support them emotionally. And in our church, we are not limited only in Surrey. We have people from different parts of Vancouver. And we have so many churches, African churches surrounding us in Surrey, Burnaby, Vancouver. But God himself speaks to people. And they say, yes, God sent me here. Yeah, and they welcome them. And we work with them, and we identify the gift the people they have, and we try to integrate them according to the calling they have to serve the Lord. Right. If you used to be in the midst of singing, we plug you with the choir or the worship team. If you said I was a leader you have the skills to lead the youth, we plug with the youth. And today we have a number of youth really who are very excited to share the word of God, and we encourage them, we work with them. And but the big challenge we have is to reach people from too far. For example, every Sunday we have some families we have to reach them from mission, and every Sunday we have to drive 2 hours, go to mission, come back, and drop them again.
Wow.
So it's a calling we receive from the Lord. They express the need to come to join us to worship God with us. When the Mambo leadership team approached me, I said, we cannot stop people come to worship the Lord because they live too far. We had to reach them. We had to assist them. They cannot drive. We had to drive and bring them to church. And most of our families are new, they cannot drive, and also most of them, some they don't speak English. We had to help them to support the way they are, and to see how until they really overcome the kind of a challenge, and they get a driver license, get a job, and be integrated in society.
Right on.
I'm involved in ministering in the church, and as well, I work with the refugee, the immigrant, the newcomer to Canada. It's not only from Africa. I work with a range of people from different countries, South America, Mexico. I work with some Filipinos. I work with the Tigrina from Eritrea, from Ethiopia, from Nigeria, and all those people when I meet with them, you know the regulation in Canada, at workplace you're not allowed to preach the gospel, but the way I spread the gospel with these people through the act, the way I act with them, they come with some challenges, but for me, I lead them in a spiritual way by telling them that Jesus is the answer.
Amen. That's good.
That's good. Mostly what we do. I don't know if you have another question.
Yeah. Well, okay. Why don't we come back to you, Seth? Here, you kind of get an idea where they're coming from, right? So Seth, again, he's in the universities. You have Jamie, who's out on the street doing his work out in the streets. You have Pastor Gideon, who's working with the new refugees. God's been doing some good things. But you know what? I'm sure there is things that we as a church need to be aware of, things that we as a church that we need to be careful in, or in a ways of reaching these folks. So, I mean, we probably, there might be things in your cultures that are maybe not, things that we don't really realize that we may do may offend someone, or things like that. Let's start with you, Seth. Are there things that, as far as educating us as a church, when it comes to the universities, we want to see university students here, right? Yeah? We want to see them love Jesus. We want to see them give their heart to Jesus. But are we missing something? What do we need to do, or what are some things we need to be aware of?
I think when church thinks about university students, one of the things that's happening for every university student is they go to the university and they sit in a stew of different worldviews. And those teachings that they receive in whatever their degree program, it will produce questions. It will produce challenges to their faith. The church needs not to shrink back from those challenges. There's no dumb question. And so young adults have questions. They are trying to figure it out. And I think churches need to be patient with young adults as they try to figure out their faith. I think they need to be supportive of them and have it be a place where when a young adult comes to me and they have a question, I try not to lead with the answer. I try to go, okay, so this is your question. What do you think is the answer? What do you think? And they may be like, well, I don't know, maybe this, maybe that. And then I'll want to know what informs their answer. Okay? We want them to get to a place where the Bible informs their answer and the character of God informs their answer. But they may not be there right away. Our society is full of questions, and young adults are wrestling with those questions. They're wrestling with relational questions, questions around sexuality, questions around vocation. What am I going to do with my life? What does God want me to do? So I think a large dose of patience and being open to having questions. Sometimes when we hear people have questions, we think they... it's dangerous, and it can be, but the only way you can resolve those questions is by diving in, not by avoiding them. So I'd say don't avoid the questions. Be patient. The other thing I would say is students, and you have some students here over the years, university has a sort of a cycle, and acknowledging that cycle, it's midterm season is really intense. We've just gone through finals. So if your young adult has not been to church in the last 3 weeks and they're a university student, it's probably because they're in a really stressful period. What they need, and I brought a...
You brought money.
No, I didn't. Oh. Who knows what this is? This is a Starbucks card. Most of us acquired a coffee drinking habit when we were a young adult to cope with stress. So I just encourage you, if you have a young adult who's a university or college student and they haven't been around for a while, send them a card with a coffee card in it.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
It can be tea too, right?
It can be tea, right. Yeah. But I think just being aware of their life is different. than your life, your work life. And the intensity is different. There's seasons. And so when we expect things of young adults, sometimes we just have to be aware of what season they're in.
Yeah.
So
I like the idea, the point that don't be afraid of the questions. And you may get some if you're out there. And believe me, I've got a few young adults that I rub shoulders with. And some of the questions are very interesting. Let me ask you this. Okay, I'm putting you on the spot here. One of the most frequent questions you're asked, or one of the most difficult questions that you're asked that you have to deal with as a worker there in the university?
Yeah, I think definitely questions around sexuality. Our culture is pushing a sexual agenda, and so our students are faced with that. Okay, what am I doing with my own sexuality? What am I doing when I think about sexuality? I anticipate probably early in July or maybe as late as October that Canada's going to legalize marijuana. There's going to be a lot of young adults having to navigate. Okay, so what does that mean? The government says it's okay. I'm a Christian. The Bible tells me sort of to follow what the government says. So what should I do? That's a question I think we're going to have, you know? And it's no good putting our head in the sand.
Communion is going to be different at the church. kidding.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the things. We are definitely going through some challenges in our society around morals and holiness, and there's going to be lots of questions. And right. I think we have to be patient in dealing with them, but have a biblically based answer. Yeah, right. And we just can't say, because the Bible says, we've got to enter in a dialogue.
Right on. Jamie, what do you think? What are some of the challenges out on the street and things that we should be aware of?
Well, I wanted to say, like, hey, man, like 80,000 times, and you were talking. Really good. I think, sorry, what was the question? What are some of the challenges, or how can we be
challenges and things that we as a church can be aware of in that?
I think one of the biggest things that has happened, I think come 40 years ago, a lot of people were still going to church, like seeking out the church, or still wanting to go once or twice, but I'm more and more coming across, like, in kind of the unique position I'm in. I can't really talk from like a specific demographic, because I just meet, like, I kind of speak in from like the human condition of that, which is interesting, but I meet so many people that nowadays, which is pretty rare, like, have never been to church or don't know what it is, with all the different denominations, all the different churches. Like, it kind of seems like people are stuck in this place where it's a little overwhelming. They're like, I don't really get it, nor does it seem like what I'm looking for. Like, people aren't really going through the doors of churches anymore, A, and then B, I meet an insane amount of people, whether it's true or false, that believe that they have been hurt by the church. 95% of the people I talk to have a bad experience at church, or even if it's from their own perception, even if they felt judged without actually being judged, whether it's true or not, again, it's real in for them, right. And they feel like they've been hurt by the church, whether it was just an article online or, with social media and the rampant feed of information. And so I think for us to be effective, we can't stay in here. We have to go out and engage them where they are, and be willing to go for coffee with them, be willing to invite them over for a meal, be willing to go and meet people where they are. And it's amazing how lonely people are in an age where we're so connected with our devices, and so we think, oh, everyone's fine. People are incredibly, incredibly lonely. The amount of people I meet in Vancouver, it's like the busiest city, one of the busiest cities in the world, and it's hustle bustling, everyone's doing things, busy, busy, busy. People, once you stop and talk to them, and they stop and talk to you, and you get a couple minutes in, and you realize how much they are longing connection, how much they are longing a real conversation, a meaningful conversation, to dive deep into the things they've been thinking and battling through and struggling with, and because the culture has put a lot of taboos on a lot of topics and a lot of things that we can't talk about, and they believe that the church has done that we don't want you because you're not what the Bible says you should be, right? And so we have to go and engage them and say, it's okay, we welcome you, we love you as you are, and be willing, just like Seth said, be willing to listen. I think listening is a huge thing. We can't approach a conversation in, I have all the answers, listen to me. Mm. You have to be willing to ask them questions and dive deep into their perspective, their world, and be there with them. Yeah. And let them know that that's okay, that we aren't perfect. Let them know our journey and our continual battles every single day, right? And be willing to journey with them through that and learning to have spiritual conversations in a way that allows them to open up and dive deeper into those things that they may be ashamed of or feel guilty of thinking or doing or you know, what may it be, but allowing them to have that safe place to talk, allowing them to have that safe place of asking those questions and telling them, you know, don't feel like you need to have all the answers. I think that's the biggest thing, too, that stops us from having conversations is like, I'm going to be exposed as faulty if I don't have it all together, if I don't have all the answers. 5 minutes into a conversation, if they say you're just genuine, hey, you're welcome. I don't have all the answers, but let's chat. What's been going on? What's been your experience at church? That seems really hard. How has that shaped your view? How has that shaped, you know, your walk? Well, you know, what makes you think you need this? Like diving deeper into the needs that we have as humans and all those wonderful things that, you know, in the human condition, like I was talking about, and being that safe place and letting them know that we don't have it together as a church, right? We are people that are constantly being saved by grace, constantly in that mercy. And it's not a scale. It's not a measure that we live on of, oh, I'm here, you're there, meet me up here. It's like, if we were on the scale, well, the measure is perfection, right? But none of us can meet that. And so we're all in the same place. We're all humans. We can't engage in those things that our culture is dividing us when there's all these divisions, all the, you know, and we need to be people to say, hey, let's journey together in the mess. Let's journey together through it all. And I love the questions you're having and learning those, I think, interpersonal skills as well of because people get a lot of cues from body language and whatever. So as much as we can, I think, you know, pretty practically just edifying what they're saying. Wow, that, you know, I'm so glad that you're going through that. I'm so glad that you've come to me with that. I'm so, you know, that's awesome. What, you know, just like those cues to let them know that it's okay. Let them know that they are welcome, that they belong, like that connection and clarity. People do long for clarity too, I think, as well. In that, there's so much information out there. It's overwhelming, and people are reading 8,000 articles a day about 8,000 different things, and it comes overwhelming, and people almost don't know what to believe anymore, and their opinions are being shaped by so many things. And so it's cool to be able to meet them there, and if they have questions, bring them a little clarity, but then ask them as well, what do you think about that topic? What's your conviction on that? You know, and being willing to learn from them as well, yeah. I think is really, really beautiful, and being open to that in that way as well.
You know, it's interesting because I think you said it as well, Seth, that when it comes to even the different cultures as far as religions, don't be afraid to ask, what does your religion teach? Like, it's not bad. You're not going to hell if you ask somebody what the religion teaches. I had a great chat with a Sikh person asking about Sikhism, and very, very interesting. I don't know if I agree with everything, but very, very interesting. But open that dialogue. So, Pastor Gideon, help us out here. Some things that, as a church, we could be aware of when it comes to, especially people coming in from the different countries.
Yes, people that come with a heavy burden, they need help, support. And the way we can do as a church, we need also to lead them with the word of God and also prayer. Because the prayer is a key. People may get the money, child tax benefit. This is not doesn't provide the hope for these people. Most of the time they stay there with all those challenges. But we need also to be with them, behind them, support them with the prayer. In our church, we had the privilege to have a prayer night every Tuesday. We have been asking the church we used to give us the day for prayer. They've been refused for many years, but by grace of God, they call us and say, okay, you need a day for prayer. Then we give you for free every Tuesday. And we see around to almost 15 to 20 people every night gathering for prayer. Mm. And it really gives them a kind of a revival in our church. And this church that we rent, I spoke to them, asked them, did you do from the time we start meeting in this facility, did you do the evaluation to see what God is doing? And I told them, if you are here, it's not for the color. We are here for this community surrounding this church. We want God to, the Spirit of God to impact the people and they come to know the Lord.
Amen.
And this morning when I drove there, I found the church full of people. And I thank God for what he's doing.
Amen.
With that church too.
Right on. See, I think there's a key there, folks, that you don't that we need to remember when it comes to prayer is, and you guys can speak into this a little bit as well, but no matter what culture or religion a person comes from, they're open to prayer. I've talked to people that are from many different religions, Muslim, Sikh, Hindu, whatever, and I just said, look, can I just pray for you? And they know there's a power in there. And I believe that God can work through prayer. Have you guys experienced that at all when it comes to praying for people on the street, even though they're not Christian? Well, or at the school? Or yeah, what?
No. Sorry. Yes, definitely. I think in my context, university context, materialism, and when I use that word, I don't mean money. I mean the belief that the only thing that's real is what I can sense with my five senses is a dominant worldview. And so when we minister in that dominant worldview, talking about God, talking about prayer, talking about God's intervention in the world, it doesn't compute if you hold that worldview. But one of the things I've realized about university is that worldview is taught and supported at the university, but most students come in, they come in outside of that worldview. They have some kind of spirituality. They have some kind of belief. They have some kind of desire. The university is less closed to God and to the gospel than we think it is. And so I think, there's a moment there, I think, where we are scared to step out in faith because we think that they hold a certain worldview. But it's been my experience that that's not the case, and we should step out in faith. Of course, I dialogue with atheists all the time who hold materialistic worldview, but they're not the majority at my institution. And so I think there's definitely, people have needs and they're always open to have somebody pray and ask God to help them with their need.
Anything you want to add to that?
I would say it's interesting, even if it's like, even if I'm in, I don't want to say pretty hostile, but just a conversation where people are not very open and they're like, they just think I'm against them, whatever. Like, even though, no matter how the conversation goes, 9 times out of 10, if at the end I'm like, hey, can I pray for you? Or would you like prayer? They'll say yes, which is super interesting. Even if they are very against everything, very against, oh, Christ, no, I don't want to, would you like prayer? Actually, yeah, even if they don't want it in that moment. A lot of people will be open to it right then and there, which is amazing. But even if they don't want it in the moment, like, I'd love if you could pray for me or keep me in your prayers. And it's interesting, too, because I think people have a deep desire for truth, to know truth. But again, it feels hostile in our culture to talk about truth a little bit. Because, well, what does that even mean? And all these different opinions. What's good for you is good for you. What's good as me is good for me. But it's interesting if you ask someone, like, would you like to know truth? I won't tell you now, but is there a desire in your heart to know whatever the truth may be? Do you want to know the truth? Can I pray that for you right now? And they're like, yeah, I would, or if there's a God out there, would you like him to come find you, in a sense? And 9 times out of 10, no matter what happened in the conversations, they go, yeah, like, if there is a God out there, I would want him to come find, and it's beautiful to meet people in those moments and be able to pray with them in that, like, God, if you're out there, come and meet him, come and find him, come and reveal yourself to him, show Hassan, like, pray for truth. And it's like, whatever the truth may be, I pray that you would know truth, that truth would be revealed to you. And I think people are very open to that kind of speech instead of telling them what they should, inviting God into that, to knowing that God works way beyond us, way, through us, absolutely, but in so many different ways, and is revealing himself to people in dreams and visions and just incredible, incredible ways that are far beyond our influence, in a sense, too. So bringing people into that and allowing God to meet them where they are in that, too, I think is, yeah.
It's interesting because I think sometimes we think, as believers, we've got to convict or convince people. That's not our responsibility, folks. That's God's responsibility, right? And so we got to let God be God. I want to bring this to a close, and we do have a bunch of stuff downstairs. But here's what I want to do. I'm just going to ask a couple quick stuff here. But if you have something that's burning in your heart right now, and I'm not talking hunger, but I'm talking, if you got something, you're thinking, man, I wonder what we should do in this situation. Here's your chance. These three experts are here right now. We all are learning, okay? But they'll answer whatever way you can. So if you got a question, by all means, let me just ask you before I open that up. I'll give you a second to think. If you could say one quick thing about your area of ministry to the church, talking about, let's say, the refugees, what would you encourage the church in, Pastor Gideon?
Before I respond to your question, I would like to say God brought us in this country with a purpose.
Yes.
Where everyone can be used by God. Mm-hmm. What God wants from us is to be available, to be used. I remember in my neighborhood, Muslim family came to me night time. They said, we have some problem. Can you pray for us? Then they said, no, we don't want other people know that we came here for prayer, and we pray with them, and we've seen the hand of God. And it's also one time I was driving with my wife for shopping, and then we stopped. Then one lady from a Punjabi lady came to my wife's store. I know that you have a living God who answers prayer. Can you pray for me? And we pray for that. It was also the workplace. There were two ladies who didn't never have big kids. They ask her, you know that you said that your husband is a pastor, can you ask him to pray for us? And I asked them to meet with them, but I was engaged in a prayer for them, and one of them got a baby, and she sent a message to say thank you for the time, for what we did, for what God has done for her. And I kept pushing to see if I could meet her, to bring her to know Christ. But she was afraid, very conservative, not approaching other culture. What I can say, we need to be available to minister to anyone. Amen. People are hunger of the word of God, hunger of knowing what God is doing. Let people know God through us.
Be available. That's good.
In the term of ministry, what I can say, we need your prayer. We need your support. If you believe that God really answer prayer, we need your support, your prayer, because we have some challenge in so many areas. We have people who don't work. They rely on income assistance, and the others, they have their low income, and also they cannot drive. They need to spend at least 1-2 years before they get driver license, and in our church, we have a few people can drive, and all those people with the families, they rely on transportation way to boost them, to support them, to bring to church, bring them back to home. That's really the big challenge we have. However, we don't give up, because that's the calling we have from the Lord.
Amen, amen. So can you imagine driving every Sunday to pick somebody up from mission? And driving back, and that's what Pastor Gideon does. One thing, Jamie, you would say to the church. We will definitely pray, by the way. We're going to end with prayer in regards to this. Yeah.
I would say it's really fun to do something that feels uncomfortable. I know it sounds funny, but it's amazing what God will do when you feel like you are at your end of your capabilities, of your strength, of your possibilities. Stepping into something that feels uncomfortable and I don't know what that may be. There's tons of different things, but coming down, you know, calling him up and say, hey, I want to do ministry with you one day, or come to Street with Dryam, or invite someone you don't really know in your home, or just something that feels uncomfortable and out of your strength, I think God invades that space so much, because then you're saying, God, I can't do it. You need to do it. You know, like come and in that as well, I think it's well worth learning how to have spiritual conversations without being defensive, in a sense, and not feeling like you have to defend God. Like being someone who's just can really learn how to open up people to those conversations in a safe place, and telling people, hey, what do you think about spirituality? Or what do you think about religion? Whatever, you know, and in a question format that helps them know that what they're experiencing is real, and that they can open up about it. Because everyone has such deep spiritual needs that I think are being silenced in this culture and told it's not okay, and you need to look to these things for those things to be fulfilled. But opening even up that conversation of just, yeah, learning how to have those conversations and applying yourself to learning those skills, I think is well, well worth your time.
Don't have to defend God. I like that.
Yeah. Radical hospitality is the word that I would want to impart to you today. Yeah. When we live in such an international city, and Vancouver is noted as being one of the most lonely places in the world, there's a foundation in the Lower Mainland called the Vancouver Foundation that will give you money to host parties and block parties and stuff, because they know community is really hard to build in Vancouver. Do something radical. Invite your neighbors into your house. Have a barbecue and invite people over. We see in the Gospels all the time, Jesus tells those parables about God inviting everyone over. You know, do it. I think that's a way that we can begin to make a difference, is to be engaged in our community. I just want to say, for my area of ministry, if you know an international university student, when they say what their number one desires are, one is to get a degree, the other is to experience North American life and to be in a North American home at least once. That's an opportunity.
Right on.
Okay. And I just want to say, if I'm going to have a table in the back, if you're an SFU grad or you're an SFU student, I'd like to meet you.
Right on. I know we're down to a little bit of time here left. Any questions for one of these beautiful people? We would love to field that. And my assistant is grabbing a microphone to make it easy for you. Thank you, Pastor Nicole. You're awesome. If you got any questions, you can always talk to them later on downstairs. They are not running away. They have to eat. Hallelujah. You're going to get your exercise today, girl.
Yep. Thank you very much. I just want to ask from the university, how do we impact people when it comes to case of marijuana? As Christian, how do we impact those people, like when they come with that question? Because that's the root from the government. As Christian, how do we impact those people or answer those questions?
I think it's a real challenge for us. If you had asked me 2 years ago a student came and said, okay, you know, what about marijuana? And I would say, well, Paul tells us to respect the laws of the government, and, you know, the law in Canada is you don't do drugs, right? Well, the law in Canada is about to change. And so I think we need to go back and look through the scripture. And we're stuck with some passages, I think. Stuck with, that doesn't sound very good. But we have some passages talking about being wise, being sober, not being controlled by anything. I think we're going to have to start to really develop an answer that is more thorough, and talk about the effects. There's all kinds of things that are legal in Canada that we as a church would consider to be addictions that we should avoid. Pornography is probably the big one I could just put out there. And so I think if I'm thinking about how I would talk to somebody about why they should not smoke marijuana as a Christian, or why Christianity is against, drugs, I'd probably use a similar line of argument that I would when I would be talking about why Christianity is against pornography. Because it's addictive and destroys lives, and you think you can do it in moderation, but in fact you can't. Yeah,
now, so how many of you thought you're going to come to church today and we're going to hear about marijuana? Yeah.
Can I say one thing to that? Is that all right?
Sure.
Usually, what I've found is usually you can engage someone in that conversation. A lot of times you don't even really need to address if it's okay or not. A lot of times there's a deeper need there. And so trying to engage them in that conversation of what are you looking for when you think that that's your answer? What makes you think that that is what's your craving, you know? And do you find that that helps? Or a lot of people say, I just want to relax. I just want to, and be like, what makes you think that your life isn't relaxing, or that this is the only way that you can relax? What's going on? Do you have a lot of stress in your life? Is there, you know, like, there's usually a deeper need that they're trying to fulfill through that. So engaging them in that conversation usually will get past the surface of what the answer, they don't really want to know the answer to.
I think really what's in our culture is a desire to escape, a desire to relax. So, I mean, you may hate me for saying this, but here this morning, one of the ways that we try to do that probably is our Netflix account. You know, I really need 2 hours a day or an hour a day to sit down on my couch and binge watch this Netflix show. For me, I like to watch sports, you know, but what's going on there? I'm escaping. Why am I escaping? Why do I want to escape? And definitely, you know, pornography and drug use, they're more maybe harmful, you know, immediately, but they're answering this question. What are you trying to get away from? What are you escaping? Why do you want, you know, your brain to be unstimulated or not, or stimulated in a certain way? And I think that's a big question for us culturally. It's not just marijuana, it's a whole bunch of activities that we're involved in.
Well, I think as a Christian, the believers, we had to consider what the Word of God said. The laws are made by the man. The same time, the man can change the law, but the Word of God never change. We never change. We don't have to compromise with the Word of God as a believers. We have to tell the people the truth, and they make a decision. Whoever to lead them, to help them to overcome kind of a challenge, and rely on the Word of God.
Right on. Yeah.
On a few occasions when I've tried to convince people to come to church, not particularly my church, what I find is they think everybody who goes to church is perfect. And they don't realize that most of us who come here are broken people who try to find, you know, nirvana in Christ. So how do you communicate? How do you convince people that we are all trying to perfect Christ and that we're not there yet? I mean, what is it that you tell them?
I'm just going to key on what you were talking about earlier. I'm just honest about the human condition, and I confess that I'm human. I am a broken person. I have issues. I have hang-ups. I have just real challenges in my life that a lot of people in my neighborhood have, and I'm just honest about that. And what makes me different is that God's helping me. I've asked God for help. I realize I can't do it on my own. And that doesn't make me perfect at all. And so I think just a humility and a storytelling. I think the Bible is full of story. Testimony is a big deal. We need to start telling our story. This is who I am. This is what I struggle with. And this is how God's helped me.
Right on. Very good. Thank you. Yeah.
How do you handle the question? The common concept today is that we are all children of God and that there are many ways to God. Now, scripturally, we know that is not so. Jesus told the religious people of his day they were not the children of God, they were children of the devil. Plus, the gospel message revolves around you must be born again. How do we handle that?
That's not a difficult one at all.
Yes, we have to. The foundation is the Word of God. If you go with what happened with Nicodemus, he was well educated, he was a rich man, but he had a problem. He didn't know Jesus. And then he went secretly to meet with Jesus to get more explanation how he can become a child of God. It was very clear that he should be born again.
I've said this a lot, but I would probably just engage them in a conversation and kind of point them, not point them, but help them kind of realize that they can't all be right, because a lot of them contradict each other. And so, the Bible says this and is very clear that Christ is the only way, you know, and that can't also be true. Both of those things can't coexist at the same time. And so, you know, like kind of bringing them through that in a conversation, in a sense, and again, not just saying, but this one's right, but just bringing them through that conversation. And do you see that they can't all be the way, because they all say that there is different ways? You know, like, do you see that those things can't exist together? And kind of, again, bringing them through that conversation and seeing where that goes.
I think, just for the whole congregation, if you want to pursue this question, probably the best book I've read for it is Leslie Newbegin has one called Foolishness to the Greeks, and he's talking about how the West can be won by the gospel. Again, Leslie was a missionary to India, and when he came back to England, he felt like England needed to be re-evangelized. And one of the challenges he faced is this challenge where, you know, well, we're all children of God, and there are multiple different ways to get there. I think we deal with pluralism, but Christianity, it makes exclusive claims. We just have to be honest about that. Jesus does claim to be, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, he says. And that's not a message of condemnation, but that's a message of hope. That's a message of invitation, that I actually am a way that you can access God. And Jesus backs it up. We just had Easter. Jesus is the only human being I know who's raised from the dead. Yeah. He gives me hope. Where there's not a lot of hope. And so I'd go down that road.
Just one thing to remember with that, folks, is that affirmation is good. I love the story where the woman that was at the well, Jesus affirmed her even in her sin and says, you are correct. You don't have just one husband, you have multiple. He says it twice. Affirmation, you're right, we are all children of God. We are all created by God. That part is correct, that we are created. But access to God has to be a relationship that we all have. And this is what the Bible said. This is and walking through that, but having dialogue. Now listen, we are 12:09. Here's what I'm going to do. If you guys are okay with this, they're going to be downstairs. Some of you, I hear your stomachs growling from here. So we're gonna carry on downstairs and have a good meal down there. What we've decided today on our Mission Sunday International Sunday, but it's also Mission Sunday, is instead of taking a regular missions offering, we're going to end by taking an offering for Ertl. And we talked about this last week. We know that one of the greatest famines in the history of man is happening right now. And so we're going to end by taking up an offering. And so I'm going to call the team up here to close us in worship. But before they come up and play, come on up. But before they play, I'm going to ask Pastor Les to come up here. We want to pray for these guys. We want to thank them, first of all, for being here this morning. And I appreciate you so, so much. I hope this was valuable to you. If it wasn't, you can come talk to me later on, and we'll deal with it later. But let's just pray blessing on their ministry. Pastor Les, would you come on up? And why don't we stand together, folks? You've been sitting for a while. And let's just pray a blessing on them and on the offering as well, Pastor Les.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the diversity of ways that you use people. And we thank you, Lord, that we can bring truth and yet love and grace at the same time. So we do pray, Lord, for our university campuses. We pray for John Engels and all that work with him. Pray for Seth at Simon Fraser. We thank you for Jamie, Lord, and we just pray that you'd continue to bless Drime around the world. And we also thank you for Spirit of Truth Church. Yes, bless them, Lord. Help them to reach those who are new in our land, many coming believing that somehow this is a Christian country. We pray that they will find that not only a Christian country, but they will find you, the Christ, the living God. Yes. So, Lord, now we pray blessing on this offering for Erdo. We just pray, Lord, that you would use it to minister to the needs of people in Africa that are going through tremendous strife, whose lives are actually in jeopardy. Lord, bless this, our gifts, we pray. And we pray your blessing on the food and the fellowship to follow. Thank you for those that have contributed. And now, Lord, may your blessing rest upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. I think while the offering's being received, we have a video.
You know what? Let's do the video next week.